This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll tell you what the term green collar means in the workforce. Also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. State leaders are expected to meet again today, trying to break the standoff over how to add money to Chicago area transit. Ben Calhoun has a preview.
The standoff continues to be over two items. Item one, a gaming expansion, including a Chicago casino, which would fund a bill to build new schools and roads. Item two, money for Chicago area transit. The deadlock comes from the fact that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and the state's top lawmakers want those two things packaged together. All the top lawmakers except House Speaker Mike Madigan, who's not on board. Leaders met yesterday and came out saying a deal was closer, but it was unclear how much closer they could be because the holdout, Madigan, was not there. The speaker's been in a political spitting match with the governor. Madigan said he was unavailable for yesterday's meeting held in Blagojevich's office. That was the word, even though two leaders left yesterday's talks to meet with Madigan, who was across the street. The leaders are expected to talk more today, though no word on times or if Madigan plans to attend. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Congressman Tim Johnson says it's still too early to put a timetable on bringing home troops from Iraq. The 15th District Republican says while everyone wants to see light at the end of the tunnel, setting artificial timelines is unrealistic and has no chance of passing the U.S. Senate.
I don't have specific timelines in mind. I will simply tell you that everybody in this district, including myself, want to see our men and women home as soon as is practicable.
Johnson announced his re-election campaign yesterday in Urbana. Last month, he voted against legislation for funding the war that passed the House. Just four Republicans backed the measure that backed several months of combat with the understanding that a gradual withdrawal of troops would start within 90 days. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate has yet to act on President Bush's war funding request of nearly $200 billion. The discovery of ammunition yesterday at a high school in Paxton led to the midday evacuation of that school and the adjoining junior high. Paxton Police Chief Robert Bain says they're still investigating. No details about the ammunition have been released, but no weapons were found and no one was arrested. In the meantime, classes resumed today at Paxton Buckley Lota, but with an increased police presence. Chief Bain says officers will patrol the school at the beginning and end of the school day and students will be searched. The police presence was also heightened at a basketball tournament at the junior high school last night. Extracurricular activities at the high school were canceled. Emergency officials on the University of Illinois campus test a new alert system today. They'll send a test announcement out at 1 o'clock this afternoon to email boxes, cell phones, PDAs, and other devices that people have signed up to be on the alert list. The text message will come from emergency@uiuc.edu, and some messages will include links to a survey. The system is one of many that college campuses have set up in response to recent emergencies, including last spring's shootings at Virginia Tech. The city of Urbana's property tax rate will stay the same next year, but the average tax bill will be going up. As AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, that's a result of a tax levy approved by the Urbana City Council last night on a 5-1 vote.
It's a familiar story in both Urbana and Champaign. Each year, city property tax rates usually stay the same or go down, but property owners see higher tax bills on average. That's because their property assessments are going up. In Urbana last night, the city council passed a higher tax levy that counts on an estimated 3.9% increase in the assessment on the average $150,000 home. Republican Alderwoman Heather Stevenson voted against the tax levy. She cited the rising assessments and their impact on tax bills from all local taxing districts in Urbana, not just the city.
And that means that the assessed value of their home is going up, but they're not selling their home. They're still living there. And a lot of my constituents do live on not a paycheck to paychecks, but they have a fixed income.
Alderman Charlie Smythe agreed that rising assessments are a burden, but he says the problem is with state government for mandating increases in city expenses like employee pensions and requiring local school districts to rely so much on local property taxes for their funding. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
It'll be a bit longer before residents who live along the Salt Fork River in rural Champaign County see any dredging, tree cutting, or related maintenance. A judge has approved a much lower annual tax levy than what was sought by the Upper Salt Fork Drainage District. The decision means the district's board will take the next year to develop a long-term maintenance plan before any work can take place. The funds collected from the levy will essentially be used for existing debt and to develop that plan. J.P. Peters of the Save Our Trees group says it's the more environmentally friendly approach.
We hope it means that they know people are watching, that a lot of people have residences around the river, and that we want to be aware of what's happening, you know, right next door to us. We like our trees and our environment, and we hope that it means that they'll be a little more respectful of the fact that, you know, we're not all farmers now when they start going through town.
The drainage district had sought a permanent tax hike of $5 an acre. The ruling increases the levy to about $2 an acre, essentially doubling the current rate. News of the first Rose Bowl in 24 years for Illinois caused a run on the athletic department's tickets office and website. Illinois is being allotted 25,000 seats in Pasadena for the New Year's game against Southern Cal. Cassie Arner of the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics says they're currently taking waves of ticket requests from contributors, students, and others who hold season tickets. She says the students will learn tomorrow if they should plan on a trip to California with their $135 tickets.
They get one ticket. It was on a first-come, first-served basis, and they will find out on December 5th when they know. The rest of the group by December 10th. And then after that, if there are any tickets available, we'll put those on sale to the general public.
Arner says those tickets would go on sale December 11th, if there are any. As for how many ticket requests have come in since the announcement, Arner says they're not bothering the ticket office to get that number since they're busy tending to lines of eager buyers. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A new employment program is tying the need that low-income people have for good-paying work to the imperative of meeting the nation's growing energy demands. The so-called Green Jobs Movement trains out-of-work people and former blue-collar workers to install solar, wind, and other alternative energy systems to homes and businesses. From the Environment Report, Christy Cole tells us that what started as a local program might be soon coming to the rest of the nation.
Can you grab the bolts, Tim, please?
Oh, you got the screws?
It's a sweltering sunny day, one when people are encouraged to reduce their energy use. And so it's fitting that a small group of young adults is busily installing solar panels on the roof of a house. People honk their car horns as they drive past this house. Solar power is supported here in California. The workers on the rooftop stop to cheer, clap, and pump their fists in response. The atmosphere here is electric, and that's to be expected because these young trainees, like Andre Collins, are the embodiment of a vision, one that takes low-income people, often people of color, and trains them to work in the fast-growing alternative energy industry.
They're green jobs because they're healthy and they're right for the people and the environment. And they're green also because they're taking the people who would otherwise be poor and putting green in their pockets. So it's a good lucrative.
Andre Collins is one of 15 people who are completing a 9-week training program in solar panel installation. This program is run by Grid Alternatives, a nonprofit that installs solar in low-income communities. Grid uses volunteers recruited by local youth employment and job training organizations. This installation is a graduation of sorts, and so these trainees are thinking about the job market.
And I'm just proud to be a part of this, and I can't wait to make money.
Some nonprofits are stepping up to make training programs like this possible. So are cities. The City Council in Oakland, California approved $250,000 for such a program, a sum that's possible thanks to a settlement between energy companies and the state of California. 6 years ago, when rolling blackouts hit California, companies such as Enron raised their rates. While Enron and others didn't admit to any wrongdoing, they gave the state $1 billion. Some of that money is being used to train lower-income people in what's come to be known as green jobs, installing solar panels and tankless hot water heaters, converting vegetable oil to fuel. Renewable energy industries are worth big money, already $40 billion a year worldwide. These new industries hold the promise of putting tens of thousands of people to work in the U.S. Van Jones is president of the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. He says support for green jobs is redefining the environmental movement.
A social uplift environmentalism that, you know, is, you know, less about the Birkenstocks and the tofu, all that stuff is all beautiful, but it's more about the hard hat, the lunch bucket, more of a working class, we can do it environmentalism, I think, is the next step in the environmental revolution.
Jones is leading that revolution in cities like his hometown of Oakland, which has fallen on hard times. Jones says what's missing in struggling blue-collar cities like Oakland are good-paying, skilled labor jobs, jobs that used to come through unions.
And it's time to really rebuild the labor movement, we think, with the new face of working class America, which is, you know, more Latino, more Black, more Asian, and also with the new consciousness around doing things in an ecologically smart way.
Oakland is the first city to declare a green jobs corps, but there could be many more. Cities across the country might get a chance to start their own programs thanks to pending federal legislation.
This bill will allow for 3 million workers here to be able to enjoy this kind of training and advancement.
That's California Congresswoman Hilda Solis describing a bill she's authored in a YouTube video. The Green Jobs Act of 2007 proposes to dedicate $500 million to train people to do green-collar work. This fall, the U.S. Senate will take up Solis's bill. Many believe creating green jobs will not only revitalize the economy and the environment, but also reinsert something that has long been missing from these communities, hope. For the Environment Report, I'm Christy Cole.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Parts of northern Illinois and Indiana could get some fairly heavy snowfall in the next 24, 36 hours. A snow advisory has been issued for much of northern Illinois, starting in the northwest corner this afternoon through tomorrow, and then moving through north central and northeast Illinois from noon today through 6 a.m. tomorrow. And our forecast for here, Champaign-Urbana, calls for maybe an inch or two of snow as well. The forecast for today, though, in northern Illinois, cloudy with snow arriving in the afternoon. Northern Indiana, central sections of the two states will see just mostly cloudy skies. In the south, partly to mostly sunny. Highs from 28 in far northwest Illinois to near 50 in the far south. 40 today in Champaign-Urbana with light winds. For tonight, in northern and east central Illinois and in northern central and southeast Indiana, cloudy with periods of snow. Accumulations will range between 3 and 6 inches in northeast Illinois and between 2 and 5 inches across much of the rest of northern Illinois as well as northern central and southeast Indiana. From west central Illinois southeast into southwest Indiana tonight, cloudy with showers of rain and snow. Far southern Illinois will just see clouds. Lows tonight ranging from 20 in northwest Illinois to 37 in the far south, 27 in Champaign-Urbana. Maybe an inch or two of snow in this area likely overnight. For tomorrow, in southern Illinois and southwest Indiana, clouds and a few isolated rain and snow showers. Elsewhere, cloudy with light snow tapering off to flurries. Highs from 22 in far northwest Illinois to 47 in the far south, 32 degrees tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.